Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But.
Good day, I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother Doug.
How's it going, eh?
Welcome to our movie, eh? Okay, our topic is movies. Yeah. Okay, first off, difference between movies and TV, eh? Okay, go to TV.
This is the difference between TV and movies, eh?
So?
Okay, go back to movies.
Geez, now that hoser's growling. Yeah. Take off, will you? We're doing our movie.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 347, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name be Scott Johnson, and there be Brian. Dog beer is the worst beer done away.
Yar. Oh, hi, you hosers. Jeez, I just woke up. I don't know about an intro. Just take off, you knobs. All right, you're still here. Well, then let me tell you how to get free Film Sacks. First, you bribe Scott at the front desk with a couple of jellies. He has a whole drawer full. I'm not sure even if he eats them, but he sure has a whole drawer full of jellies. Mm. Weird. Yeah. But that will get you in to see Randy. Now, Randy likes to hand out jobs, especially if you threaten to sue him. Currently, he has half of Canada as at his employ. Mm. Handing out jobs like free beers at Oktoberfest. Once you have a job, head down to our top secret lair where we keep Ibbot in his haunted DVD disc changer. Just grab a DVD. Any of them do, like Strange Brew. You don't have to worry about Ibbot, though. He's usually in the toilet behind the fake wall, taking care of Ibbot business. I think he gets into Scott's jelly drawer a good bit.
Yeah.
Where am I during all this? Right here, writing intros and drinking Dad's beer. So sit back and get some corn, eh? It's going to be a doozy.
Drinking Mel Blanc's beer. Is what you're saying.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Also with us, Randy. Hey, it's the dad from Wonder Years, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Poutine, Timbits, Hockey, Molson, Maple Candy, Coffee Crisp, Curling Beavers, Looney Tooney, Milk and Bag, and Ketchup Chips, Harvey's, Cora's, Boston Pizza, New York Fries, and Swiss Chalet, RCMP, Giant Nickel, Biffy's, Two Fours, sorry, eh? Beauty.
Wow, nice. That's pretty good. Jeez. Nice. That was good. You should be a rapper, man. A rapper man.
Not a rapper, but a rapper man.
A rapper man.
Yeah, he's working every Christmas at the mall.
Exactly. Finally with us, Brian. Hey, you, 650 Ibbot.
Oh, good day. I'm Brian McKenzie, and these are my brothers, Randy, Scott, and Brian, eh? Okay, how's it going? Yeah, okay, so today we're going to tell you how to make your own hit movie, eh? And you better do it quick, because you don't want any of those hosers horking your ideas, eh? Okay, all right, so first thing you want to do is have an established recurring bit on a late-night comedy variety show. Next thing is that you need to have a good amount of funding and a couple of actors who are on their way up. And then, finally, you know, to have your hit movie, once you've got all that other stuff, you need to not be called any of the following. A Night at the Roxbury, It's Pat, Stewart Saves His Family, Blues Brothers 2000, Coneheads, Superstar, Ladies Man, or MacGruber. Oh, and you need to steal the list idea from Wayne's World, okay? Party on, hosers.
Nice. You know what? Out of all those you listed, only Coneheads has held up for me.
Coneheads is good. Coneheads is no right.
I need to watch it again. I watched it when it first came out, and I was like, okay, batting 1,000.
Yeah.
Right. Except for Blues Brothers.
For me, Saturday Night Live. For me, Coneheads is one of the only ones that holds up. I really like it. I think it's good.
Well, Blues Brothers is far and away the you got to admit Blues Brothers is the best.
Yes. Yeah.
But Wayne's World perfectly holds up if you get yourself into the right frame of mind before you watch it again.
Yeah.
And that is, you have to remember what it's coming from. Yeah. Right. And that's that's the same thing for Strange Brew, only a freaking decade earlier. You if you get into the right frame of mind, this is a comedy sketch that no one ever really saw, but a few people remember this. There's this. If you get into that, then it's like it you can understand it's a movie.
Well, in my
that's where you and I differ, because I remember watching SCTV when Saturday Night Live wasn't on, when on the night that Saturday Night Live wasn't on, and I remember hoping every single episode that they would have a Bob and Doug sketch.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, you wanted them every time, and I've listened to the Great White Album about a billion and a half times. Growing up, like, these guys were a huge part of my what I thought was funny culture when I was a kid and teenager. I just freaking loved these guys. And when they announced a I don't know if it was late 90s or early 2000s, but they announced an animated series that's apparently a part of this disc that Dunaway has, or that we all got, that is also great, because once again it's got Bob and Doug McKenzie. Now here's my only contention I would make for a movie I still enjoy, despite the fact that there's a flying dog in it. I hate shit like that. It's an 80s comedy thing where it's like when you throw supernatural stuff into your otherwise sort of grounded comedy, it drives me up the wall.
The experimentation going on at the brewery wasn't supernatural.
Well, all right, there's that too, and the organ that controls people and stuff. I can get past some of it because it's just farcy dumb, but the flying dog, come on. It's like, come on.
It's, yeah, I mean, you totally nailed it, though. I mean, it was an 80s thing to have. You'd have your story, and then for some reason, they just felt like, oh, we need to have some sort of weird extra element kind of thing for other reason. Stuart, all the Stuart movies.
Yeah.
Right. Not Stuart.
Not Stuart. You mean the other ones.
Vern, we watched one. He saves Christmas.
Ernest movies.
Now,
there you go.
Now the difference there, in my opinion, is the reason why it doesn't bother me in this film is because that was a bookend to the story, the actual story. And when you're in the bookends, you're actually thinking that Bob and Doug are, orchestrating this low budget film and having
self-aware.
Having something ridiculous as a flying dog would be something that they would do, but not necessarily filmmakers.
Well,
so there's like two films going on here.
That's why my contention has always been the better film would have been them making the entirety of that space mutant thing in 2250 or whatever it was.
Right.
Well, and was there?
I mean, that's easy to say now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. True. Like they were spinning off a crappy little thing into a movie.
Yeah,
right. Like
you
can understand why they didn't.
But weren't they kind of doing
that though? Like, there's the flying car and the little science fiction thing they do. And then, the car is flying when it goes off the ramp and goes into the water.
Yeah.
And, the big movie features some of those elements from the little movie. Not the flesh-eating mutant and the...
Right.
And the
radioactivity has made me an enemy of the people. Like, yeah, this is what I want. So to make my original statement, which I got sidetracked on myself, but... where this movie's the best is where the sketches are the best, and that is that it feels very improvisational, and it's only when Bob and Doug are just screwing around. Like, if they're in the rubber room in the place doing steamrolling each other.
Steamroller, that is
I was dying.
Favorite.
It's so funny. And anytime they're just sort of hanging out and talking and fighting over a thing, you can tell that those guys, the way they interrupt, the way that they... talk over each other, all that. You can tell that stuff's very improv, and I wish the whole movie was more of that. Mm-hmm. Like, just improv your way, kind of Curb Your Enthusiasm style through a story where you know your ending and your beginning, and then just kind of build it as you go.
Oh, I'm taking you to the loony bin, and then I'm going to go to the brewery. No, we're going to the brewery.
I'd watch it today. Like if Rick Moranis would just say, sure, they could do one today, because you know Dave Thomas is always up to
he's ready for it.
Yeah, always. Anyway,
so I have to Dave Thomas. Go ahead.
I have to get some things off my chest. But before we completely lose the thread altogether, I just want to say, I think I might like Ernest Saves Christmas more than this movie. I'm not 100% on that, though.
There is more coherency, even though it's insane. There is more
way more coherence. Oh, yeah. It's a complete movie by comparison. Like Ernest Saves Christmas has like a plot, you know. But I just want to say, like, this is kind of my first ever experience with a lot of these things. And I am not going to be able to name the guy who plays Doug. He's Andy Richter. I mean, I realize Andy Richter is like 20 years younger than him, but he's Andy Richter. I can't not call him Andy Richter.
Dave Thomas is great. You've seen those, that string of episodes of Arrested Development where Mr. F, that's freaking Dave Thomas. Like, that guy's great. He's the goofier, less career successful version of Rick Moranis.
Because that's what you want to be known for.
But Rick,
he was somebody's. Yeah. He was in some sitcom for a while too, as like the silly boss or something like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in Bones, Blacklist. Was a writer in those things though. He does a lot of writing as well.
You sure it's the same one? Because there's so many Dave Thomases.
No. I'm looking at his.
Oh yeah,
IMDb and what he's known for.
He made
it.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at the credits. I actually thought Wendy's.
Yeah, he made hamburgers.
Yeah, he's gonna suffer from
that.
No,
he did.
Arrested Development. I think that might be what I'm thinking of.
Well, that's the one I just said with Mr. F. That's the one I was just talking about.
Oh, that's right. He was
Mr. F. Yeah, and he was great.
Anyway, I hope there's someone else out there who's never seen this before, who is familiar with Andy Richter, who watches this for the first time and has the same experience I did.
I can see that Andy Richter, because they are very subdued in their comedy.
Is the topic we're dancing around here is that this is Randy's first viewing of Strange Brew? Is that what we're saying?
I believe it is. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My youth was steeped in SCTV and Bob and Doug McKenzie. I mean, all of my childhood was full of this.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing that probably is the differentiation point for whether this movie holds up or not, is that three of us have this whole, oh my God, I bought the album, I watched the TV show, we're totally into doing those voices all the time, and oh, take off, you hosers, and all that stuff.
One of these kids is doing his own thing.
And Randy, this is your first, not just first experience, obviously, with this movie, but your first Bob and Doug. Like, you don't remember the takeoff song from the 80s with Geddy Lee or seeing any old SCTV reruns or anything like that, right?
Oh, I grew up as far away from Canada as you can be in the mainland United States.
Right.
But you eventually landed in Canada, didn't you, for a little while, isn't
it? Yeah,
that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I mean, this is like landing in the United States in 2010 and someone expecting you to know anything about Three's Company. Like, you're going to have to go looking for it.
Right. But it's also, I mean, some have said they're the Paul Hogan of Canada, and Canadians disagree. They say to me, no, we love them up here. Like, we miss them and we do tributes to them all the time, and they'll show up on commercials sometimes
because at the end of the day, they're just a couple of slackers, right? I mean, because this was during the 80s, early 80s, when Canada was having, job troubles. And so we had kids who were staying at home longer. So you have these adult children living in your home, kind of like some of these millennials who are in a similar situation. So I think we could appreciate it.
Is it also because they realize that Americans don't think all Canadians are just like Bob and Doug McKenzie, the way they thought all Australians were just like Paul Hogan?
Yeah. I don't know
because, like, even having never seen, I know about Second City TV. Like, I know about it. Although as a kid, I thought it was a Chicago thing.
Yeah.
Because Chicago in my mind was America's Second City. And I didn't think of it as a Canadian thing,
which I understand
that Toronto is the second city of the North America, as far as Canada's concerned.
Great White North,
It is. But, it's the second city prime, really. Chicago is important.
Right.
Yeah.
And over the years, I've picked up on so many amazing people, most of whom ended up in Best in Show, coming out of this Canadian comedy troupe, right? Like Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, and so on.
John Candy.
But one thing I didn't know, I like, honestly, I don't know Rick Moranis. I know, I like, coming into this movie, I'm sitting down and I'm thinking, what do I know of Rick Moranis? He was Darth Helmet. That's what I've got.
Wow.
I've never seen Darth
Helmet. You've seen Ghostbusters?
I remember Parenthood, I remember that he was in Ghostbusters, but I don't remember anything about him being in Ghostbusters.
Honey, I Shrunk movie Kids.
I've never seen those
movies. Honey, I Shrunk Some Shit. Yeah.
So I've never seen those movies. So I'm coming into those Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies. So I'm coming into this thing and I'm thinking about him as Darth Helmet. And I'm thinking, I wonder if his shtick, his entire career, was that he's a comedian version of a neurotic Woody Allen act. Huh. Because that's kind of what I think of Rick Moranis, right? Because of Darth Helmet. And I really like his ability to play straight farce.
Right.
But in this film, he's also playing a caricature. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe how much impact this had on me having never seen it. Like how much of Canada I thought of growing up that came right out of this Rick Moranis character.
Yeah. Right. It's very interesting to hear this from that perspective. Because my life was painted with Bob and Doug McKenzie for years and years and years and years.
Yeah, never, and Rick Moranis, all over the place.
Yeah, Rick Moranis just kept going. In fact, I've been so obsessed with him because
he was like Daffy Duck bouncing through my head just all the time.
But he was like, he was so in everything for so long and then suddenly quit. His wife passed away. He wanted to raise his kids. He wanted to get out of Hollywood. Still did a few things in Canada, but really just wanted to simmer down. And I remember always being bummed out about that because I just thought, oh, come on, man. We need more of you. You were great. And then nothing. I heard an interview the other day on an NPR show or a PRI show where he just kind of talks about what's going on now and recounts his history at SCTV and all that. And, to me, it was like Rick Moranis was like this guy that, I don't know, he proved that the weird lumpy nerd could be rad.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of disappeared. So I had this almost obsession with him throughout pop culture. So to talk to somebody who is just being exposed to him and being reminded, oh yeah, that's the guy from Dark Helmet, is really weird to hear. Now I think that's actually good for the show whenever this happens to us.
It's only the second time we've seen him on Film Sack, but we have to agree. Gone out of our way to not watch comedies a lot.
Third time. Yeah, because it's Spaceballs, Ghostbusters 2. Yeah,
he was in Ghostbusters 2.
Yes, yeah, he was. He was the hero by the end of the movie. Remember, he came along put on a proton pack and
he was in Ghostbusters. Yeah, he was in 1 and 2, and he was a highlight. Although 2 is just bad up and down, but. But yeah, he's great. He was Barney Rubble in that terrible.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, thing.
I forgot about
Didn't they do? Didn't they do kind of steering it back? Didn't they do for Brother Bear? I don't know if Will has ever seen Brother Bear, but Bob and Doug, I mean the voices of Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas do a couple of bears that are very much Bob and Doug McKenzie in that movie.
Yeah, they're called
Only good part about that movie.
It's true. They're very funny.
Yeah,
in it.
It's true.
Before we progress too far, I'd love to hear Brian Dunaway. Like, did SCTV make it to where you grew up?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. But I watched a lot of alternate channels. So, I mean, we had satellite dish very early on in my childhood. And so I was always watching not the mainstream stuff necessarily. I was watching Elvira, SCTV, you just name it. If it was weird and odd, man, the number of hours I consumed TV when I was a kid is just,
it's disgusting. It's
disgusting. It really is. It's just outrageous.
It's just freaking gross. Yeah. Here it is. Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas. They played Rut and Took on, on that show. And they were basically Bob and Doug McKenzie and they played, Canadian mooses or moose Mises, right. Whatever it is. Plural.
Mooses.
So that was cool because at the time I was like, oh yeah, dude, they're back. Yeah, woo! I'll take them in any form I can get them.
Only reason why I even watched Brother Bear, true story.
Yeah, no, same.
I was so mad at that movie. If you watch that movie is one of those movies you watch and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's rough.
This is so unfair.
Yeah, Brother Bear's rough, but his characters are great. So I mean,
and And I picked up along the way, I thought I heard Scott mention that they had an album, like they had a record.
Oh my gosh,
Great
yes.
White, the Great White Album.
Yeah.
Oh man.
This is like you saying, who are the Beatles? I've never heard of them to me.
It's a comedy album.
No,
to me. Hold on, not to everyone. Not to everyone.
What's special is that it's small.
No, let me clarify. That's how it sounds to my ears. Like that, because to me, it was so ubiquitous in my youth to hear that no one's heard of the Great White Album.
The Great White North
is so weird to me. I just can't even fathom it.
I had a lot of comedy records, and I mean records, and I love them very, very much. And I think about how that progressed, especially in the 80s and 90s. And the end of it, in my mind, was the Jerky Boys. Like this thing where you have these guys.
Dunaway's response right there was just priceless.
Yeah. Kind of with them.
Like you have these guys who basically killed that form later on. But along the way, there's this thing where you get two guys who are funny and you have them do something and you record it and you cobble it into a record. Like it's really awesome. And I'm kind of sad I missed it.
Well, it's still there for you. You can get it.
Yeah, okay. That's the great thing about CDs is they're still available. Yeah. I think you can probably even stream.
Yeah, the whole thing's on Apple Music and Spotify and everywhere else. Here's the other thing. One quick thing I was going to say about that, and that is that I can't remember. Dunaway, go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say.
I'll tell you the one of the albums that some of the albums that just were coming out fast and quick in a hurry was the Adam Sandler CDs for a while. And man, I used to just love those. Felt like so outside the norm at that time. I would be interested to go back and listen to see if they still hold
them. They do kind of follow a very similar formula to like even the Steve Martin ones, where it's recorded stand-up comedy in front of an audience, as well as the occasional song that's thrown in there, right? Yeah. Like the Steve Martin's, right? I mean, he had King Tut on one of those comedy albums. The comedy's not funny, or whatever it was, and just like Adam Sandler had his piece of shit car, and Great White North had Take Off. There's a really cool formula for those 80s comedy albums. And I don't know if they do it. Well, I mean, I guess Adam Sandler was 90s, but I don't know I don't even know if comedy albums are still a thing. Like, is there a Louis C.K. comedy album?
I would go down to
Patton Oswalt did one. Yeah,
yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
But I want those on vinyl. Is that weird?
You are weird.
I want them on vinyl.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the difference. This around here is you never hear anybody do. It's almost like 70s. You know how an album in the 70s would be like a story, like Pink Floyd's The Wall was like this huge epic story.
Concept album.
It felt like the comedy albums were a bit like concept albums. In fact, some of those Adam Sandler albums weren't stand up at all. They were just skits and sketches. Like the Fart Doctor and all that stuff was great. And so, I don't know why that's not done.
Charlie, is that what it is? The one who's at the toll booth. I'm coming out the booth.
They just don't sell now. And maybe they do, and I don't know. But I you don't hear about those ever now, and I don't know why. That would be great.
I'll tell you why. It's because they don't think that they have replayability like they probably did when we were kids. And I listened to that George Carlin album with the 7 words you can't say on television over and over.
Yeah.
I listened to Great White North. There was a bunch of stuff like that I listened to. But, and I think in a day where you can stream an entire album, an entire comedy album, you're thinking, great, I've heard all those jokes. What's the next thing?
Not only the ability to stream it, access to material that is inappropriate for your age. There's no real block to kids getting all the obscenities they want just by getting on the internet now.
It's true. Yeah.
When we were growing up, if you wanted to hear, Eddie Murphy get raw and dirty, you had to get the album.
That was also a thing going from television to not television, which was like you saw Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live and thought he was really great. And then he put out an album so you could get the real Eddie Murphy. And everyone bought that record and was shocked. Like, that record was probably thrown away by 50% of households.
The parents.
Nope. Yeah.
Bob Saget album, which was probably 90%.
Yeah.
And I want to correct you. King Tut was on Wild and Crazy Guy. And I know this because I had 3 Steve Martin records. I had Comedy Is Not Pretty and Wild and Crazy Guy and the black and white one where he's wearing the balloons.
Head. Oh, the balloons, right.
Let's Get Small.
Yes.
And Wild and Crazy Guy is the one with King Tut on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
and,
you for that.
Yeah.
So, and good correction. It's at the very end, and I know this because I had to skip through a bunch of it because my parents would come along. I'd be listening in my room, right. And my parents would come along. And
oh, couldn't you cut. Just lift the needle and?
Yeah, you just lift the needle and go right over.
drag the needle. Do one of those. Yeah,
I feel like Cat Williams could come out with a good comedy album with just, you know, and still break your mind.
Well, and he did, right? Like It's Pimpin' was a good record like 5, 6, 7 years ago or something. But the thing about
Did he go crazy and kill a dude or something? What happened with him? Something happened with him.
He's had some health problems.
Oh, maybe that's it.
He talks about killing a dude. Maybe he did.
So
I don't know.
He was in a scandal a few years ago where an ongoing joke of his about being a small man bled over into people wanting to fight him, and he eventually got into a fight with like a 12-year-old or something.
I'm all over here like, oh no, Cassius, he's great. If you go to his Wikipedia page, he literally has a whole section called legal issues, which is a full page worth of all the legal issues he's had.
He's really funny. But the record thing, like, I still think it's possible, but Dane Cook kind of ruined records for people with his massive double album from 7 or 8 years ago where everyone bought it, and then it was like suddenly the last cool thing that anyone ever did in terms of comedy, and then it, you know, we all have to hate it now because Dane Cook is detestable for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why we hate Dane Cook now. I haven't wrapped my head around it.
The same reason we hate Smash Mouth.
So he's
it comes from the same source.
He's Smash Mouth of comedy.
It's bro tank, you know.
Yeah, bro. It's overexposure and bro. You're right.
He's good in movies and stuff when he does acting gigs. I like him in those. I don't know. It just feels, not that it's not totally unwarranted, but I hadn't thought of him before as the Smash Mouth of comedy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I want to know if music works the same way as comedy in this regard. So Dane Cook was really amazing. His first album, Harmful If Swallowed, was like one of those things that blew everybody's minds because they hadn't heard him before, and he's really energetic. And then he grows and grows until he gets this Retaliation album, which is the biggest selling comedy album of all time. And everybody turns on him, and who turned on him first were other comics. Mm-hmm. And other comics were jealous, and they accused him of stealing jokes. Yes. And I wonder if that happens in music too, where it starts in the industry and your peers turn on you and then crowds turn on you.
Yeah.
It's so easy to look at someone who's having success and have something similar to what you have and question where they got their information from and where they got their content from. That's common across all forms. Cause you want to be successful. And when Mother Humper's like Dane Cook is over there taking it down, but does Kevin Hart,
He's nearing it.
He's almost untouchable at this point. Everybody loves him, but is he going to get to a point where he's going to cross over?
I think he's going to cross. I think he's getting close to that edge. I think he's like on the whole other side of this. You might be a redneck. What's his name? Can't think of his name.
Jeff Foxworthy.
Foxworthy is, you know, pretty funny guy. He's a decent stand-up comedian, but there is a line somewhere. I don't think it's an intentional or malicious thing, but there's a line he stepped over and became just a parody of himself, and now I think it's just nobody goes, oh yeah, Jeff Foxworthy, boy, that guy can really get me going. Like he's in the Smash Mouth territory now, and I feel bad for those guys. I don't think it's intentional. So, certainly don't. You know, they're just trying to follow their success and do what.
And it's
go ahead.
I was just going to say it's not inevitable either.
No,
What, you know, some of the biggest comedians in some parts of the world, like Gabriel Iglesias in the Southwest, I can't imagine him ever losing his audience. He's he's got an audience. He's very self-deprecating. He's not selfish, you know, like that kind of thing. I just can't. I don't know what he would have to do to lose his audience.
I think it just hit me what it is. And that's not all the time because I don't know how Dane Cook fits into this, but it's when they hit a certain when their gimmick overtakes them. So Jeff Foxworthy's gimmick of I'm a redneck dude talking about country folk and that particular
how smart are fifth graders?
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, that thing he got to the same place that guy that Brian doesn't like, Larry the Cable Guy got.
Cable guy.
He got.
They worked together.
Sure,
for a long time.
Yeah, same
place. Let's be clear. Ibbot doesn't like him, right?
Right.
We're talking about me.
Okay. Yeah, no, no. And yeah, yeah, also, no. We're talking like Gallagher's another example. Carrot Top's another example. Any of these guys where they really rely.
Quick, what do you know about Gallagher?
Gallagher all I know about, smashes melons. Yeah,
watermelons. That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, it's because that's what I'm saying. His gimmick is larger than his other capabilities. And
yeah,
so,
Gallagher had some great stand up, and that's all gotten forgotten.
Yeah.
But it's
Carrot
also.
Talks? What's Carrot Top's gimmick? Looking scary as a mother.
No, props. Oh my God,
yeah,
props.
Yeah.
Right.
Chest full of props.
Yeah, but I like where Dunaway was going. I like where Dunaway was going with the whole roided up carrot face weird thing. Yeah.
Looks like he could cut a guy.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
One thing about Canada, trying to steer us here. One thing about Canada is people are generally nicer than most parts of the world. Like, and it goes to their media too. There's a lot of apologia and a lot of friendliness that you don't find elsewhere. And so when I found that when I was naming those people earlier, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy, that, you know, these guys, you can't imagine them ever becoming the villains of their industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rick Moranis, throughout this film, he comes across as so nice. Like, even though he and
Dave Thomas
are playing morons who don't always do nice things, like, right? Like, they're really, really caught up in the idea of suing for damages.
Yeah,
like, right. they're not
just for
not,
some free beer, eh? Because they got no money.
Yeah, right, but like, they, you know, they're
not even really
their
not beer. Even suing as much as just, if I give you the bottle that's got a mouse in it, will you give me a case of beer? Kind of thing. Like,
right. Yeah, it's like
it's that whole mentality. Go ahead.
Like, even when you pull apart what they're doing and go, oh wow, that's not nice, and the bad guy is really not nice, and I'm looking forward to talking about him, you still give Canadians a pass. Like, Canada is just, they are nice, and this movie bleeds that niceness everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, part of the reason Bob and Doug are great in the first place is they're self-effacing, and there's a sweetness kind of to them.
Brothers.
I've even said this about Trailer Park Boys, another Canadian comedy thing that I've followed for a long time now and had fallen in love with, and some people watch it and go, man, that is the most crass, sweary, freaking nasty show, and my answer to them is, yeah, but there's something there that's like heartwarming. It's hard to put your finger on it because it's really just a big parody of people living in trailer
language
parks.
Language is this language. I mean,
yeah,
right.
But it's something. There's something to that. There's a power to that, and I think Bob and Doug McKenzie always embodied that really well. If anything, Bob and Doug McKenzie was bad for Dave Thomas's career because I think, and especially after this viewing, he used to be my least favorite of the McKenzie brothers. But I really like him. Like, he's really good.
A clear second place.
Yeah. But in my mind, he may be better than I thought, and maybe just wasn't appreciating it when I was younger, and now I appreciate him more. And I think he's the one that got typecast because he's just so good as Doug McKenzie. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so perfect.
I can't say who wrote a majority of the ideas and jokes and where things were steered to, but he definitely feels like the older brother in every aspect of kind of making those decisions.
Yeah,
totally wrong.
I mean, I went down a huge rabbit hole. Well, this is what I was going to tell you before, and I forgot. Right after the movie ended for me, I watched it last night, and it ended about 10 o'clock last night. And I thought, well, time to, you know, sew everything up and go upstairs and whatever. And then I went on this rabbit hole hunt for just old SCTV era stuff that they were doing. And man, there are some amazing playlists on YouTube of incredible things. Apparently there's a documentary in 2007 that I really want to get my hands on, but I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, really? Wow.
So I went and watched all this, like, I don't know, probably 50 of their sketches.
Yeah.
And they're all amazing. They're all hilarious. Mm-hmm. There's one about how to cook bacon right if you use beer instead of butter, and the difference between long underwear and normal underwear. And it's the funniest. It's really good. Like, improv-y and funny. It's so good.
And it's clearly the most popular of the sketches that ever came out of SCTV. And it was originally intended just to be this kind of throwaway filler thing.
Yeah.
It was never intended to be this, like, recurring deal. It was just going to be the station manager, Guy Caballero, said, we need more Canadian content. So, all right, let's just find two guys off the street and give them a show. Yep. And this was going to be like their one little one-off skit, and it turned into the probably the biggest thing that ever came from SCTV. Ed Grimley being the other one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't think of anything bigger except Ed Grimley. But Grimley's so, you know, SNL owns that.
One
now.
Note? Yeah.
Well, he took it from, I mean, Martin Short did it on SCTV first, and then when he went to SNL, he took it with him.
Well, that's my point, is like they he got there, and now the association is purely SNL. Like, I don't know any. Yeah. There's very few people that think it came from anywhere else, and so because of that, you know, once again, Canada gets ripped off a little bit. But you're right. Like, those are it. Those are your two things. And what else is there other than John Candy, who was probably your most beloved of the offshoots? Eugene Levy continues to be, you know, everyone's glad he exists.
Stifler's dad.
Yeah, Stifler's dad. Stifler,
yeah, not Stifler. Not Stifler. The pie porker.
The pie.
Something.
The pie maker. We're calling the pie maker.
You may not know is that that Canada has a Canadian content rule.
Mm-hmm.
They have a regulatory commission called the CRTC, and they dictate how much content on radio and television has to be Canadian. And it's one of the reasons why so much U.S. production has moved to Canada, because you can, if you just make your show in Canada, you can call it Canadian content, and which, I mean, it means the regulation's working. But it's weird because a lot of things we think of as American, they think of as Canadian.
Yeah.
I actually started getting influenced by Canadian programming when I went to college. So I moved out of the southern tip of Texas into the slightly less southern part of Texas. And suddenly, boom, Kids in the Hall. And the Red Green Show? Have you ever seen the Red Green Show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact,
I was hoping we'd bring up Kids in the Hall because that's a great, you know, companion piece to this.
I think Kids in the Hall, I'm going to say something controversial here, does not hold up. I think at the time it was amazing. If you watch it, go watch some now and you'll be like, ooh.
So you're telling me that I'm Doug doesn't still hold up?
I am bothered right now because I think it holds up so much better than this thing.
This explains a lot, right? This explains a lot why I didn't like Wet Hot American Summer and that kind of stuff, right?
I always felt like there was, even at the time, I always felt like any given episode of Kids in the Hall had two or three really good sketches, and then a couple of things are like, okay, yeah, that's kind of funny, and then one that just, oh, when is this one going to end?
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. Yeah.
Well, that's true about anything. Give me any comedy.
Sure. Saturday Night Live is, you know, that at least with Saturday Night Live, that's like broken out into the first half hour, the middle hour, the last hour.
Yeah, you can kind of guess which one's going to suck. Exactly. Yeah. I still can't believe that show's 90 minutes long. It's weird to me that they ever went that long. But yeah, like watch Kids, just for reals though, go find Kids in the Hall somewhere.
There's a couple of skits that just resonate in my brain all the time. Like if I have an argument with somebody and it's just not going anywhere, I'll just start
crushing banging.
And I'll start banging the table and just going, it was Citizen Kane. Because there's this great skit with him trying to figure out what a movie is, and he finally stabs him in the hand with a fork, and it's just.
Yeah. It's not fair to compare Kids in the Hall to Strange Brew for two reasons. One, it's newer. And it one depends on the other. And also, Kids in the Hall is like 150 hours of comedy. So, of course, you're going to find some diamonds in that rough, right?
Sure.
You know, Strange Brew is 80 minutes long. And I don't know. It's not fair. But, like, there's some other great Canadian comedies, like The Newsroom. Not Newsroom. Right. The Newsroom is really funny. I highly recommend Canada.
Did Fletcher send in a summary of this
no,
movie?
No, not because of him, though. Because of me. Okay. I'm terrible at this lately. I have been the worst about getting with Fletcher on time. So it is not his. I should make that clear on the show so people understand. This is not Fletcher like going, I don't want to do this anymore. This is Scott being bad at like getting it to him in a timely manner. So I've got a new plan moving forward after today. That I can guarantee.
That is a guarantee. Can anybody sum up the movie quickly? Because I kept trying to go back in my head and review the movie my head and just go, what is the real point?
A couple of guys uncover Tamlet.
Tamlet.
It's Hamlet. A couple of guys uncover a plot to take over a brewery and also poison the minds of Canadian citizens, or not poison,
attached
but like
an insane asylum with
And poison the mind of Canadian citizens to like bend them to their will once they're finished testing it on hockey playing loony bin.
Crazy bin. Still don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is really now. Yeah.
Yeah, hard to summarize because like there's stormtroopers here in the middle of it. I want to work that into the summary somehow.
Yeah, some good trivia about that stormtrooper stuff. He said he saw. Yeah, he goes. At one point, Bob says of his brother, he saw Jedi 7 times, eh? Or yeah, 17 times. And he goes, what's crazy though is that Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, opened in May 83. Production on Strange Brew wrapped 5 months earlier, so the movie wasn't even out when they were saying these things. And they say that the reason that he only says saw Jedi is because the Revenge and Return thing had not been decided yet. Because if you remember, it was originally Revenge of the Jedi and became Return later. Right. And so
that sounds like fake fiction, but I like
it. Could be. It could be. It says here Schwarzenegger was considered for the role. So that could be it too.
Fake fiction as opposed to true fiction?
Yeah. That's it. Fake you heard fiction. It.
You know the one.
True so, crime.
Did you guys fake know crime. There was a sequel planned? It was called Homebrew. Was planned for production in 99. So it was going to be like, how many years later is that? That's like 15 That's years lot. Later.
Yeah.
Financing fell through the last minute. It was co-written by Thomas and Paul Flattery. Flattery was also going to direct. And Dan Aykroyd was on board to play the part of friend Rick Ripple. Principal photography began, was to begin July 19th of 1999 in Toronto. At one point, Todd McFarlane was going to step in with the money and help pay it through, and that just all fell apart and nobody
did I like to think that maybe they just took all the money and drank beer with it instead.
Yeah.
but talk about ancient reasoning. Like nowadays you would never consider a film to be, you know, out of production because they couldn't get financing. Like they just make the movie, you know, like nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like who cares about financing? How much could it possibly cost? Like Moranis has this in his change in his couch.
Yeah.
You know, like,
even in 99, he has changed in his couch. Like, I don't know what happened here.
But no, things have changed in the last 15 years, right? Like, yeah. It's just not the same in terms of you have to go raise $10 million in order to start production. Like, there's all kinds of comedy crews making movies all the time for nothing.
Yeah, why isn't there a Kickstarter or something? You know, like, that's the era we live in is Rick Moranis. And you know Dave Thomas would be the one pushing for it, and Rick would be like, I don't know, man. But they probably are done with it. I mean, these guys are in their late 50s, maybe
even
60s.
And their target audience is, you know, in their 40s probably for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bet that we still see something else, Bob and Doug McKenzie. I'm going to bet that we see something else, Wayne and Garth, before we die. And
before it's over.
Before it's over.
This wild ride is over, we're going to see.
I think that, you know, people are seeing things like... I'm trying to think of a good example, the Ghostbusters remake and stuff like that, where you'd never thought these people would ever get back together and do any part of that again. And granted, they just make quick appearances and stuff, the original Ghostbusters cast. But I think you're going to see Bob and Doug McKenzie do something again.
All right.
To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, this is Netflix written all over it. I mean, we already had Wet Hot American Summer.
Right. Netflix is a great example, right? Because Pee-wee Herman did that thing, the show specifically for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. It's the right size for this project, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also, I don't want them to, as much as I love animated stuff, if they decide to do animation, and it's fine if they do, they still need to rely on this being mostly an improv back and forth thing, because that's where it's best. If you script it, sucks. It sucks if you script it. Yes.
Did we all watch the trailer on the DVD?
No. I watched the ripped version that Dunaway made, so I don't have any of that stuff. I mean, I have the disc. Yeah,
there's a trailer for the animated show on the DVD, and it's cute.
Oh, there's a whole episode of the animated
show.
The whole
thing's
on
there. Yeah.
Yeah. You should watch it. It's good. It's fun.
You got robbed if yours doesn't have the whole thing.
Well, I was trying to not spend too much of my life watching any of this stuff, but like they actually talk about in the animated show, they talk about how animation is better because they can do anything.
And they're ageless, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. They just be their voices and that's it. By the way, that was 2009 that show was on. So it wasn't that long ago. Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas, lasted how long? Just the season. It looks like. And
just not as long as we think.
Yeah. The problem is, well, I don't know. Who knows? I honestly, this would have been better. Brandy's right. Do this now. You got yourself a little hit on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. Like,
yeah.
Do this in 2009. You're just barely ahead of the edge. You're ahead of the thing there. But I would love that for Ibbots thing to come true. I would love for a return.
Are we? But I'm so down with this. I know we talk about the Canadians loving these guys, and I really compare it to our, you know, our Wayne and Garth. We're not ashamed of Wayne and Garth. You know, we accept that there are some people like that in this country. So when they go to other places, we don't go, we're ashamed of this. But are we at a point where we kind of like are we so PC that we're afraid to bring out any type of stereotype? This plays somebody's intelligence down.
Well, I mean, plays part of what I like is, well,
can we do it?
You know what's funny is Mike Myers is from Canada. This stuff always comes from Canada,
right?
I swear.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he's supposed to be American. Though,
no,
right?
No,
he's
understand.
Right. Yeah, Peoria, Illinois, yeah, is where Wayne and Garth are from.
Yeah, yeah. Scott Fletcher's hometown, by the way.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. Think of that.
So I'm gonna say yes. Like I genuinely believe that Billy Eichner is doing what you're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Danny McBride is doing what you're talking about right now. These are American
Vice
comics.
Is he doing something?
I don't know if
just
that's
everything.
Still on.
Everything Danny McBride does, like, these are
Alien
American
Covenant
comics.
Right. Well, the only safe stereotype left is the Southern white trailer
angry
person. That's pretty much the only one that's safe. I mean, everybody's okay. It's like, we okay with making fun of these guys? Yeah, South trailer park people. Yeah, yeah, we good. All right,
yeah,
let's do it.
No, you're right.
I don't know. Can we make fun of like New Yorkers and
right? They can. That, yeah. And you're drawing a distinction between people making fun of their own kind and people making fun of sort of their nation for everybody,
yeah,
on behalf,
right,
of everybody.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. That's over. I don't think you're going to have that sort of thing happen ever again because it's too broad.
Yeah.
But every comic is making fun of their own kind, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think that's part of, well, certainly today, that is comedy today. Like, if you're Patton Oswalt, you're making fun of tubby nerds in a way.
Tubby nerds.
If you're,
he wasn't so funny last night when I watched The Circle.
Oh, wait, The Circle. What's, oh, Circle. The
so Tom Hanks,
yeah, Hermione. Yeah,
I heard that sucked. Is that as bad as everyone said? Because
you know, they I heard some people say it sucked too, and I watched it, and it I don't think it sucks. Now it is a very depressing movie that you're kind of like, it's almost like watching a horror movie and going, God, these people are stupid. Why are they doing these stupid things? Don't be doing that stupid thing. Mm-hmm. But in another way, it's like, I can kind of totally see people doing that stupid thing. So I don't necessarily think it sucks.
Does Tom Hanks say, I know what love is, Hermione? Does he ever say that?
No, not even once.
Okay.
Does it suck? Yeah, it kind of sucks. But it's kind of like watching Logan's Run. I mean, that movie sucks, but not necessarily because the movie sucks. It just...
It's like watching
Soylent Green going, Soylent Green sucks. Well, yeah, but it's not really.
No,
the
for me, it's
sucks.
Like, that's my Waterworld thing. It sucks, right, but it's great. It's great, and it sucks, but it's great.
Have you guys read The Circle?
No. No. Oh, it's a movie. I didn't know it was a book. I had no idea.
It's a book. Yeah, it's a really good book. And it's kind of like an episode of Black Mirror drawn out into a novel length. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so it basically takes the idea of Facebook and stretches it to as far as you can possibly go.
Yeah.
You know, in society. Yeah. And I recommend it. I can't imagine the movie gets into any of it. Like the movie probably scratches 5% of the surface of that book.
Yeah. It felt like it was very surface.
Yeah,
plus they felt like there was a lot more they could have done.
Plus Hermione talks like she's from like California. It's really weird.
I actually have the book right here. It's 500 pages long. Yeah, like
that's too many pages.
That's a lot of pages. That's also my upper limit on puzzle pieces, by the way.
Right?
Yeah. I don't like going 1,000. Not into it.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't,
oh,
I hate, dude.
Jigsaw puzzles are the biggest ones.
I hate jigsaw puzzles, period. So the smaller the pieces, the better. The bigger the pieces, and the least of the pieces, the better.
I find it fascinating because I have a print of yours where it's called Items of Note.
Yeah.
And I think it would make such a great jigsaw puzzle.
Oh, Items of Interest. Yeah. You know what you'd like?
Items of Interest.
You know what you'd like even more is my new brain dump one, because it's like
that.
That would be cool. That would make a great puzzle.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And it's for people who would like puzzles. I'm just not that guy. I freaking hate them. I find them boring and useless, and there's 1,000 great things I could. All I can do when I'm doing a puzzle is think about the other things I could be doing.
I'm going to put a hard stop on our puzzle talk and talk about the movie for a minute.
The Circle? Okay, so tell us about The Circle.
No. We're not even going to talk about The Circle. We're going to jump all the way back to Strange Brew.
All right.
Sure. And I've got to ask the question, What are those donuts in that drawer? How many donuts does that lady have in the drawer? How easily is she bribed? Mm-hmm. And does she eat them later? And question, would any of you eat a donut that someone produces from their pocket?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So,
right.
No.
This is a,
there's
this
a lot
is
of
a
questions
very,
here.
Yeah.
Right.
This is a very American coming into Canada for the first time kind of question. I had all these questions when I moved to Canada because
oh, please tell me Canadians keep donuts in their pockets.
Of course they do. Absolutely they do. And what the answer to a lot of the food differences between US and Canada is that it's always cold there, outside and inside, and in your car and everywhere you go it's cold. And so they have all of these habits and practices that have to do with nothing ever spoils because it's frozen wherever you leave it. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
They, you know, donuts are a fantastic food in Canada because Canadians are all about hot drinks and donuts go with hot drinks really well.
Sure.
And so there's like hot drinks all day long, like five times a day. You're getting coffee or tea or whatever.
It's because they're trying not to die.
My problem is, I don't know about you guys, but every time I turn my pocket out, I have all kinds of
lint,
dirt. Dirt, yeah. Lint. What is this? What is
tiny piece of gravel?
I haven't eaten a piece of gravel. I haven't eaten nerds in 10 years. Why do I have a?
Oh yeah, nerds will stay in your pockets forever, dude. You'll get a little tiny round rumply nerd in the back corner of a pocket like 10 years after you ate your nerds. Yeah.
But the lint in your pocket isn't going to hurt you.
If it hops on my chocolate covered donut, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't keep a donut in a drawer. It's
lick
gross.
It off.
Well, listen, there's only.
Besides, I mean, when she puts it in a drawer, it's going to get a paperclip stuck to the bottom of it anyway.
Yeah. Here's
what's she waiting for? We know she's going to eat it.
Look here are the two gross things in the movie. The grossest thing in the movie, without any question, is the freaking beer dog dish reuse. Right. Ooh,
can I
beer.
Guess the what? Second thing, by the way?
For me, it's the donut in the drawer. Well, what's yours?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have thought. So things that gross Scott out, I would have thought it was the. I just drank all that beer in this vat, that some of it was my pee.
Yes.
I forgot. Now you're right. In retrospect, you're totally right. That. I forgot that he warmed up the place. She goes, why is it warmer all of a sudden? I forgot about that after he drank it. Because let me tell you another thing I hated about this movie. Him drinking the entire thing and being a giant fat thing with the most stretchy reusable pajamas I've ever seen in my life. I hate jokes like that.
I did enjoy the fact that they had the pajamas because they had the constant struggle of the youth during that time was, are you into sci-fi? Or are you into cowboys?
Yeah.
You know, and so one was wearing the cowboy pajamas, another one was wearing.
No, I like that, but him drinking an entire, you know, containing vat of beer and becoming this huge thing is stupid.
You couldn't, because you've wore those pajamas before and you know they don't stretch.
It's just, 'cause
they're kind of like polyester cotton blend,
also, you
right?
couldn't do it. You drink 3, 4, or 5 gulps of that and you'd barf immediately. Like it's just so dumb, and I know I thought this was funny in 1982. I know I did.
But I mean, like, come on, let's face it. These guys are superheroes, and their superhero power is to make use of beer to get out of bad situations, right? Isn't that
right?
The idea, because they're drinking beers under the water. By the way, I want to congratulate them on that scene of them
right
over underwater and using the beer to sustain.
Yeah,
right.
Because that had to be a bitch to fill.
They had to fill, in Bob and Doug McKenzie land, they had to have the wherewithal to fill those bottles with air as they were flying through the air about to land in the water. Like, okay, start turning these beer bottles upside down because as soon as we get in the water, they're going to start filling with water unless they're upside down.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that Moranis never actually took any beer into his mouth?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I didn't know this.
More than once, he puts a bottle that has a cap on it into his mouth, and then does this thing with his throat where it looks like he's gulping.
Yeah, the earlier shot where he was in the house and they were pounding him down.
He's a non-drinker.
He may be a teetotaler because I'm telling you, this whole thing, he never once actually gulps beer.
No, he talked about this in that interview. He doesn't drink and he doesn't smoke. So every time you see him on set with a cigarette or they're passing smokes around, hey, give me some smokes, eh? That whole thing. He's literally not inhaling. He's Bill Clintoning for real. He's just like not sucking it in, which is, you know, I guess at the time, that's all they had was real cigarettes, right? You didn't have these weird faker.
The clove fake cigarette things.
Yeah, the Mad Men ones they use now. But,
the film is just full of unnecessary stuff. But can we talk about the science fiction aspects? Because no. I never understood why is Doug an electrical genius, and what does it have to do with anything?
And why is there that's the qualifiers. Yeah. You when you were this age, let's face it, these guys are supposed to be like more like 14, 13 year olds. Right, even though they're older than that,
that's the mentality. Yeah, that's where they got stuck.
Still living at home with mom and dad, and doing it.
Right. And so when you would brag to your friends about someone's abilities, it was stuff like, "Oh, he figured out how to hook up the stereo. He can do anything. He is now the official, you know, electronics guy."
But
you know,
what did it have to do with the story? Why is
it was important because there were so many scenes where electricity. What was a theme and a motif in this movie, where it's just like constantly things are getting electrocuted and blowing up, mm-hmm. and it is tied in very directly to the story.
You just reminded me, we haven't even brought up the fact that somehow Max von Sydow is slumming it in this freaking movie.
Yeah.
Right. Freaking three-eyed Raven.
Three-eyed Raven walking around doing business.
Being the merciless first dude you see in Force Awakens.
Yeah, he's the priest in The Exorcist. This guy's a big deal in the strange brew.
Was he wearing teeth prosthetics in this one? Because I don't remember his teeth being that big. I knew he had big teeth.
Yeah.
But I was thinking the same thing. It was like that Matt Dillon thing in There's Something About Mary.
A little larger.
Mom and Dougie are about to be taken.
I've just decided that like people they say who's your doctor? Like David Tennant's my doctor. I've just decided Max von Sydow is my three-eyed raven.
Yeah, he is a great three-eyed raven, no question. And he was, you know, and in this movie, every time when he was looking through the hole of the tank, I just wanted to put words in his mouth and say, "Bran, it's up to you now, Bran. I'm leaving now. You're the fate of Westeros is in your hands." He's great.
I like the fact that his character also they use some of these tropes from other movies where you give your bad guy superhuman strength. He can literally crush somebody's head.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But why? Why can he? I mean, what does it make?
Well, better? I like to think it's because the dad from Wonder Years' head is a little softer than most. Who is also, by the way, I should mention, that guy was also, we've seen him on FilmSack. He was Wimpy in the Popeye movie. He'll gladly pay you Tuesday.
He was the dad in Wonder Years. He wasn't the dad in Wonder Years.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? I thought he was. Do I have the wrong dad?
No. That's Paul Dooley in this. Wonder Years was the guy from 15 Minutes to Midnight or whatever that other movie that we watched.
Oh, you're right. So wait.
Yeah.
But I could see the similarities.
Inbound. Is there something inbound?
Oh, no. He's the dad from 16 Candles. That's the movie.
16 Candles. Right. And Breaking Away.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
All right. I screwed that up. Yeah, I'll get him mixed up. Anyway, I really like that guy, and I really like him later in life, and he's the voice of the Sarge car, the military car in the Cars movies, and he does a really good job in that. Like the guy's, he's kept working, does a lot of voice stuff now and movies. Like that dude's all right.
He also wrote for The Electric Company. He was one of the head writers, and he created Easy Reader, Morgan Freeman's
I was about to say, good, because Morgan Freeman is like my favorite out of all of that. Morgan Freeman, if you haven't YouTube Morgan Freeman on Electric Company.
Electric Company, yeah.
Oh, he's so good. So good.
You're missing out.
By the way, he was born in 28, so still kicking it, still rocking
it. He just looks like the nicest old man right now. Oh, you know, like, I want to go hang out with Paul Dooley.
Yeah, just sit down.
He's that drunk uncle, man. He just looks like it. Half lit right
tell
now.
Tell us about the time Max von Sydow slapped you three times.
And here's the funny thing. His real name is Paul Brown, but he changed his name to Paul Dooley.
Paul Dooley. That's great.
I like it.
It's a great,
Was a keen cartoonist as a youth and drew a strip for a local paper. I didn't know that.
Oh, see? Look, Brian, you should interview him for Comics Coast to Coast. Get in there. See what you can get going there. But he is busy boy McGee.
I don't know what keen means, though. Keen cartoonist. I'm not that old to understand that.
Keen.
By the way, sorry, Ibbot, you asked ages ago what's his name? Doug McKenzie was in a sitcom. Some goofy dad
like
or whatever.
A dad of something. Yes,
it was in that Grace Under Fire show. Do you remember
that's
that?
What it was? He was the boss, right? He was Brett Butler's boss in Grace Under Fire.
Yes, that's the one. I knew as soon as you said that,
ladies and gentlemen. Brian pulls Brett Butler.
Hey, you know what Brett Butler's? You know what she's good in? She was you've forgotten. She was in the last two seasons of the Leftovers there. You may not even have noticed. She was that weird trailer park lady that was at the town waiting
totally
to get in.
Her, yes.
She is amazing in that show. As far as I'm concerned, she's back, baby. Grace Under Fire 2 starts production this fall. Probably not. Anyway, yeah, so Wimpy on Popeye. That was the main thing I wanted to say about him.
Wimpy on Popeye. That doesn't sound like something I want to watch.
Another thing.
Wimpy on Popeye action.
Here are the other things I didn't like. I didn't like the lawyer.
Some favors today.
The lawyer beating the shit out of everybody was stupid. That's dumb. You'd be arrested for that. It's just dumb.
What? You didn't like that? You couldn't appreciate that he was changing up. You know, it's like you hear people all the time, oh, I can handle the press, and you assume they're gonna go out and talk.
Yeah, but that's like an airplane joke. This is an airplane.
I thought it was dokey until he started fighting with the woman lawyer. Like they had like their little standoff.
I just want to agree with Scott. This is definitely not Airplane.
Yeah, it's like an airplane joke.
So much better and funnier than this.
If you're gonna go airplane, you have to go full airplane. You can't do one, two jokes that are airplane like, or else your movie is disjointed and broken. They did it again with the bullets in there at the stand. He's got bullets up his nose to staunch the bleeding, which is really stupid to start with. And then when he sneezes, the bullets have enough power to like fire and ricochet around the room. That's so dumb.
Have you considered that this is exactly like Airplane and they just didn't get to it? Like they weren't funny enough to be consistently like Airplane.
Well, that's my whole point. I don't think they went full Airplane. They didn't go full Airplane. They should have. Here's what they should have done. Either go full Bob and Doug improv conversational or go full Airplane. And if you're going to go right in the middle somewhere, you're going to hold up a little less well than you thought you were going to. I still love this movie, but it's only because it's part of my childhood. If I was Randy, I would probably not like this if I were you.
Right. Well, it definitely, from the very beginning of the movie, they say that this is going to be different. This is going to be a challenge for them. This is not something they do, and it's not in their wheelhouse, because you can't exactly bring a TV skit show to the big screen, you know, as is. You've got to make some changes, and they made some changes, and they made some failures in some places, and they had some successes.
Yeah.
And so the real question is, who has done it right? So I think Key and Peele's recent movie actually was
for sure, but they've got 30 good. Years. Oh, they've got 30 years of improvements and everything to work with.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, they're genuinely brilliant. Those guys, they're so good. I didn't see that Keanu cat thing.
Oh, no,
it was good.
Yeah,
Keanu is really good. Yeah. I like Keanu is probably my favorite comedy of last year. Seriously.
Oh wow.
Wow. I can't think of a comedy I liked last year.
Then that would fit right. It would be super easy. Keanu. I know, right? Keanu in there.
Keanu is very R-rated. Like, it is not a family film by any stretch. But so fun from beginning to end.
Well, that's fine. I like my rated R's. Yeah.
Only streaming currently on the Cinemax app.
Yeah. So when you get through watching some Skinemax, yeah, let's go over to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to watch your arm rest up and watch. Right,
maybe
some
you
want to
watch it first before you know.
You know what? Outcast is on there now. Actually, they're starting to make some decent original programming, which is good. They're getting around to it. But if you haven't seen Robert Kirkman's Outcast, I recommend it. It's good. It's good stuff. If you're sick of zombies, you want to watch something about demonic possession instead. Right. There you go. Based on his comic book, the same name. All right. What else did I not like? I don't like painting the dog like a skunk. That's dumb. Why'd you do that? What's that for? What's the point of that? Was it just
because it became a great plot device to clear out the Oktoberfest tent? Right. I guess
I couldn't decide
if this movie just hates animals, you know, or if it was trying to tell us that that's a Canadian thing. The mistreatment of the animals.
I don't think that at all. What I think it is very surface level stuff. During this time, we were all heavily influenced by Warner Brothers and MGM cartoons, and that comedy styling of bringing painting something into a skunk.
Like right out of Pepe Le Pew, basically, where the white stripe always goes down the back of the black cat. And
right.
I'm not the only one who felt sorry for the mouse, right?
No, I did too. I kept thinking, ooh.
Oh, I didn't even think about it, but now you bring it up.
I mean, obviously they had unscrewed the bottom and put him in that way. There's no way they waited months for a baby mouse to grow and then feed it. Like, that's dumb. But it's
I don't know. They threw the dog. Like, there's the scene where the dog lands in the Oktoberfest tent, and it's clear that the dog has been tossed from.
Right. He's clearly not comfortable with the situation he is in.
Sure. I mean, all these friendly Canadians with their animal rights.
Yeah, there's no PETA in Canada.
No, they just have jellies. That's it. That's all they have.
We're talking about the supernatural parts of this. We haven't talked about the glowing red orb that bounces around and becomes the visage of the late father.
I like that. I was trying to remember, was this before or after Tron?
It was probably after, but that's still stupid. It's dumb. Yeah. There's no game. First of all, there's no game called whatever Border Patrol.
Yeah.
I wanted to love it.
A Canadian flag and a U.S. flag battling against each other. Yeah. Come on.
It's
fun.
A funny idea, but video games do not work like this. They don't reveal hidden footage of the guy getting electrocuted at a fence and then how it actually happened. Like, come on. Like, that stuff. Even then, I knew that was all hokum. Like,
A time that people said that if you got a certain score in Tempest, it wouldn't give you 40 free credits, but it proved them wrong.
That's true. That's true. Also, wall outlets don't turn bright pink when they're hot.
That also didn't bother me. Those things don't bother me for some reason.
If you'd have seen it fresh today, I think you'd have felt different. I have a lot of love for this movie and I would watch it again. But I am positive it's because I was a kid when I saw it the first time.
This is what I'm saying about Wayne's World. Like, if you never saw the sketch, you know, and you have no history with those characters, why would you think Wayne's World is anything? Like, it's crappy. But if you had been watching Saturday Night Live, and especially if you already had like other feelings about Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, right? Mm-hmm. It's freaking hysterical and it totally holds up. But you have to have that. If you don't have that foundation, it's nothing to you.
For me, the good example I always use is, so Ivett and I do this morning show called The Morning Stream. Now, if you've heard that show and if you hear the words, I can see why you like it, you're going to laugh because you'll know what the reference is. If you've never seen the show or heard the show and one of us looks at you and says, I can see why you like it, you're going to go, what the hell is wrong with you? So to me, it's like that. Like it's funny. When you're part of the thing, you know,
like, and it's not only inside jokes. Like with the morning stream, the phrase "love the show" though is funny if you've never seen the show, heard the show. Like it's funny because it's a stupid thing to say after complaining.
Yeah,
right. Would apply to anything.
It's a little more contextual, sure.
And so like Strange Brew and Wayne's World, they have some of that. There are some things that are just funny.
But then them saying "schwing." And moving their loins toward you. You're like, what? Yeah. Where did that come from?
Thrusting their crutches skyward.
Sure. But it's only funny because the sketch did it in a consistent way that made you go, oh, yeah, right. He does that thing.
I think I could catch what swing meant without any prior.
Well, not what it meant, but
information.
But it wouldn't make you laugh. You would think it's weird and bad.
You don't know me, Randy. I might laugh at anything.
Listen, what we know about Dunaway is anybody who thrusts their crotch upward is funny to him. He likes that.
No, that's absolutely not true. That meme that goes around with the dude that's banging at the pole on the other pole.
Yeah.
With his hips, I'm not down with that.
Yeah, I don't like that one either. Yeah, that one makes me feel bad when I see that one. I don't like it either.
Right.
What else? That's it. Hey, would you?
No,
do,
that's not all.
We should do clips. No clips. Okay, about. What do you got? What do you want? What do you got?
Oh, so yeah. I mean, can you have an enjoyable comedic moment in movies today, where you use music to accentuate the comedy in a true comedy? Can you pull that off these days? Because they did that several times. Like, you know, they got the little jaunty music in the Doug and Bob McKenzie movie here, but. Can you see where they could pull it off today and be funny?
If it's just music, that's one thing, just to sort of fill the moment or maintain whatever the mood of the moment is. But if you're saying, will the music be the part of the joke? Probably not. I don't think that flies anymore. Mm. Not like it used to. I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, is Benny Hill funnier because Yakety Sax is playing, or is it funnier because they're sped up, or is it a combination of those things?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. So in this particular case, is it funnier in the scene where the stormtrooper players? Oh, by the way, the guy with the mustache, the porny looking guy that was one of the patients,
main hockey player character guy.
Yeah, he's rogue leader or red leader or something in Star Wars. That guy's like an actual Star Wars guy. Anyway, he's part of the final attack on the deal. But anyway, so my point is when they played the thing, but they did it in
and like with orchestral
yeah
music. Oh, that was so funny.
Then it's kind of funny, you know, like, sure. Again, it's referential, so you kind of have to know that that's how they do their thing. But I think the answer Dunaway is some of that does work today, some of it probably doesn't.
Can I just say the movie never gets as funny as its first 30 seconds.
Yeah,
the first 30 seconds of the film with the live lion and so on, I was like, oh wow, this is gonna be
no
good.
Here's where it got funny. That I'm with you that that's awesome and hilarious and great all the way up through when people leave the theater is funny. Then when they come back and roll over each other, steamroll, whatever, that's
right,
really
that
funny.
That was pretty good.
And then the final credits, really good. Them being themselves again. If you stayed around for the credits, you were wise to do so because that stuff's real good. So
that's an entire, like, the entire credit sequence is a stinger. Like, there's no got to wait till all these boring credits go by and then you get a stinger. No, it's like the whole time it's like, remember this guy, and they're moving their fingers up and in what they think is the speed of the
I was just about to say I didn't watch the credits, but I didn't remember that I watched all the way through the credits.
Yeah, the credits are great
because it's entertaining.
It felt like so much such a part of the movie.
I just wanted more of that, and I think I'm gonna make a controversial statement to all of those who worship at the feet of this movie. And I know there's a lot of you out there because we've been heard from you the last few days. Here's the controversial statement. This movie is only good in your memories and mine because of those moments. I think the rest of it is pretty stupid. But anytime we get real Bob and Doug, that's what makes it. And it's so much better than the material around it that it actually elevates the film. So I think that's where I'm at with it. That's why I think it's a good movie, is because they get to steamroll each other, or they get to talk about whatever, or they're arguing at the beer place, or, you know, smacking each other head or dumping popcorn on each other or whatever. Like, when those guys get to be those characters, that's when the movie shines.
When they get to be annoying brothers is when this shines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the parts that don't, you forgive it a little bit, because you know that other stuff's there. I think that's what's going on. It's like, again, Waterworld. It's just a great concept and a terrible execution. And I give it so much leeway because of the guy who wants to see paper and freaking Denver. I can go down to see Denver with a little thing over my head. Like, there's so much to love and hate about that movie that, to me, the concept makes the movie better than the execution. And that's kind of what this is, in my opinion.
This movie shines the best in their character voices. I'm ready for some clips. I don't know about.
I just want to quickly have a general trope alert.
Sure.
There's so many tropes in this film. I don't want to call them all out.
General trope alert. In charge of the 5th Division of the Army. Wait, where is it? There it is.
The chick in the bucket in this film, I think, is the receptionist. There's a lot of options. You have a lot of options.
I actually think chick in the bucket is. Now she, maybe.
Seriously, you're thinking she's a part of this movie, and then about halfway through the movie, you just never see her again.
Yeah, yeah. There was one that was while I was watching last night that hit me, and then I forgot to write it down, and now I don't remember what it was. But there was something where they just left it and forgot it. I just never did it again.
Right. Personally, I think she's under her desk eating donuts.
Yes. That's exactly where she is.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was something else, though.
The chick in the bucket is the mouse in the bottle. What happens to that thing after when they start getting their jobs and their job is to go look for mice in the bottle?
Yeah.
Is he just left there? Does somebody break him out?
Yeah. It's a really good point.
Maybe the chick in the bucket is Colonel Sanders because, you know, the colonel is dead, but here we are enjoying his chicken. So.
A bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Bucket
of chicken. I'm still not sure. There's something else that went missing that made no sense that it went missing, and I can't think of it. Or I watched something else, and I'm conflating the two, which is entirely possible. I've done that before.
Lots of other tropes, though. This film is absolutely chock full of them. It's almost a study of comedy tropes at the time.
Yeah, you just play this over and over. Let's do some. I got some clips, man. Listen to these clips. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Are they a beaut?
They're a beauty. Beauty is what they are.
Beauty.
Let's see. This made me laugh. So here you go.
Stick a pin in his bum, eh?
I like that they want to put a pin in the lion's bum to make him roar.
How dangerous was that?
Stick a pin in his bum, eh?
That looked like they were really behind the lion, and they were swinging his tail around.
They brought in a friendly lion.
Yeah, he was just some trained lion.
They ain't no such thing as no friendly lion.
There is.
There is a there's only tolerant lions.
That's yes. Right.
You pass fact, that line.
We've seen it on the news. We know what happens right. like with those so-called friendly lions once they right. decide, you know what, I've had enough of this whole taming BS.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I never feel that bad for people when that happens. I know that sounds cruel, but you've got this mm-hmm. wild animal whose instincts are to tackle and destroy and eat anything it sees. And sure, right. you've done a pretty good job of keeping it at bay, but the minute it turns on you, none of y'all should be that surprised. Like mm-hmm. bears, the tigers it, for like, the freaking like Siegfried if, and Roy, if, like all that stuff.
Yeah, it'd be like suddenly if a cat had super intelligence and was able to control us with a whip and a chair.
Yeah.
You know, we would let him do it for a little while, eventually. Oh, it's on.
It's the story of Heston's Planet yeah. of the Apes. Same deal, yeah. right? We're going to rise up and take you down. Here is a Omega Man reference, speaking of Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah.
Nice timing.
I was kind of like a one-man force, eh? Like Charlton Heston in Omega Man. Did you see it? It's beauty.
All right.
So after the seventh or eighth time they said beauty, I thought, I'm going to make this a drinking game. Mm. Don't do that.
No. It's the most common thing they say.
Yeah, it is not like I there are a few Canadians still left who speak in this weird Canadian pidgin and say beauty at the end of every compliment.
Yeah.
But don't do that with this movie.
Yeah.
Because you will kill you.
Alcohol yeah. poisoning.
Yeah, you don't want it. Here's the radiation line I like so much.
Radiation has made me an enemy of civilization.
I love that one. I love it. See, I want that whole movie. Whatever that was,
yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
Burp whiplash.
I'm getting whiplash for my burps, eh?
All right. That was one thing. Here's Looney Tunes dad, which, by the way, this bears mentioning. Mel Blanc did the voice of the dad. In the original Flintstones cartoon, Mel Blanc was the voice of Barney. And in the live action Flintstones movie, Rick Moranis played the voice, or played Barney. So there's your little crossover there. No, you're thinking it was not Fred. He definitely did Barney.
No, it wasn't Fred. I was thinking he was the rock quarry manager.
Yeah.
No, he may have been that too. They all right. was double duty on a lot of that stuff. Just like, you know,
Slate, Mr. Slate.
There's like five yeah. people on Futurama, and they do everybody. Here's the Looney Tunes dad in the couch.
Save one of those bitches for me, eh?
You can tell this is also when Mel Blanc is getting old and his voice was really hammered.
Yeah, love
do you know
it,
the ones right? I'm talking about? Yeah. Like some of those late Bugs Bunny 70s cartoons. And yep. you'd hear him yep. and you go, oh, something wrong with Bugs. Doesn't right. sound right.
And also he reminded, that voice reminded me both of him in all those cartoons and the guy who manages Punxsutawney Phil in Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah. Brian Doyle Murray.
Oh, yeah. Brian Doyle Murray. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I heard that voice and I was like, which mm-hmm. is it?
Very
it took me a
similar.
Moment.
To
yeah,
very similar.
That's very interesting. He's great in so many things, but he's the voice of Captain Kernuckles in this great cartoon called Nick Carter. What's the name of that cartoon with Captain Kernuckles?
Wow, they're
Nick
right
Carter?
There.
Nick Carter's in there?
We're right. What?
Oh, we're podcasting for like an hour, and they're right there.
She's
the whole
over there.
Time.
She's over there drawing, but it's the Misadventures of Flapjack. The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack.
Whoa.
Amazing cartoon that's no longer in production, but it was on Cartoon Network. It's really, really good. Anyway.
This is so cool that you have living reference materials.
Oh, yeah. There's us all right there.
Hold on a second. Let me check the millennials.
Yeah, let me check in on this new generation of slackers. Here's dad voice again.
Dad, Bob broke your beer. No, I didn't. Doug broke it. It was you.
Clean up the mess, boys.
I want you hosers to get me a fresh case of beer first thing in the morning.
All right. There's that.
I've never been to a beer shop like that. Maybe you guys have, but... that's not how our beer shops look.
It's like, did you guys remember a store called LaBelle's?
No.
I think for a while it was service merchandise. Mm. But you'd walk through the whole store and you'd write down, almost like IKEA, you'd write down the thing you want on a piece of paper. And then you'd go to the end of the store, you'd pay, you'd give them your list of things you're buying. And then they'd come out on those little metal rollers
really?
I worked with service merchandise.
I love that.
I used to sit up. I used to be at the top sometimes and sliding stuff down, merchandise down the thing. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
I love that idea. That's super cool.
But you never you didn't know that Canada had liquor stores like this.
No.
I had no idea. Yeah.
So you just go and you tell them what you want. You don't. You can't browse the aisles and say,
right.
"Oh, that whiskey looks really good."
You can't see or touch the booze. That's
what I love about this is Randy had never heard of Strange Brew, Great White Album, or Bob and Doug McKenzie, but you knew all about these weird beer dispensaries. I think that's awesome.
No, I grew up, again, it's all about where you grow up. Yeah. I grew up in a place where every county was, you know, had their blue laws, and some were dry and so on.
Yeah.
And some of them, and a lot of Canada was this way. We're still holding on to this puritanical concept of, you know, like that you sell liquor, but you have to make sure people can't see it. That might make them buy more than they need.
Damn you, Kellogg.
Is this what that was? Is these kinds of places an attempt to say, well, here's what I want, and then you only show it to me once I've bought it? That's the idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that was
mostly it's just like a warehouse though, right? Because they got so much, they're selling so much beer. It's just like, we ain't got time. Where it's like the beer Nazi is just like, come on, no beer for you.
It costs more. Mm. You know, a liquor store like you're used to nowadays, you only have to have one employee at the front door ringing people up.
Right.
This place costs more because you have people in the back grabbing things and throwing them through a door.
I can see that. Something about don't get electrocuted.
Your tires are insulators. Don't get out of the car or you'll ground and get electrocuted.
He hooked up our stereo, eh?
I like that qualifier.
I like that
a lot. She's driving a convertible. Why doesn't she just go out through the... I shouldn't ask questions.
Put your logic back in your pants.
Also, there's nothing about a gate that closed too early and smushed your car that would make it electrified. That was just the dumbest idea.
Wasn't that the implication? I was trying to figure that out because was it still wired from when they killed the father? Is that even how they killed him? They choked him in one place.
Oh, maybe.
Killed him the second time. There's all kinds of stuff going around with that.
Yeah, you might be right. I had not thought of that. It's probably part of the dad thing.
There were two things when this movie was made, that were still very mysterious, especially to young Canadians. One was electricity, and the other was the idea of suing people for damages. Very new, very weird thing, very funny, because no one had ever done it before.
Yeah. It was, and that stuff really was burgeoning here, not there so much. Here's not what? I don't know what this is.
Nobody is buying anybody out, Henry.
Oh, I just like the way you said that.
No, nobody.
Here's him getting woken up on a couch.
Guys,
shut up, Ma.
Wow.
Freaking love it. All right. Take it out. What? I'll take it out of my pay.
Sorry about your sweater. You can take it out of my pay if you want.
Oh,
that's because he ate the bad tuna salad, right? Wasn't that the thing?
That is,
or the egg salad?
Yeah, he puked on her.
Melancholy Rick Moranis is my favorite Rick Moranis.
It's the best Rick Moranis.
Yeah, yeah, he's like so
gozer gatekeeper.
Right.
Yep. He's really good. Here's another thing.
I can't go through with that again. There'll be police. There'll be questions. I'll crack. I know I will.
Shut up.
If I slap a guy, I want to say shut up between slaps.
No, during the slap.
Yeah, during. Doug doing Vader.
I'm your father, Luke. Give in to the dark side of the force, you knob.
You knob. We don't call people knobs enough.
We should.
It's more of a British thing, but it's nice to hear it in Canada, I guess.
On the other hand, I don't think we should ever call someone a hoser. I'm not sure what it means, but the Irish singer Hoser should not be a bad word.
There's an Hoser Irish singer.
Hosier.
Yeah, right. That's a little bit different. But yeah, Hoser, by definition, is just what? Like a ne'er-do-well, a uncultivated person, kind of like a redneck, but in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Not the idea.
That sounds right. I don't know. But I remember, as a kid thinking it was great, and I called all my friend Hosers as a result. You know? Because you're kids. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Here's the worst tech moment in the film. So here you go.
Now, I think he just pressed one of these buttons here.
No, when you fire up an arcade machine, you wait for the ROM to do its stupid little pretest, and then it just loads. There's no button. You don't push the fire button to do anything.
Right. This will show the top 10 screen.
Ugh. I think you just... just hate it. Even hearing it again.
Yeah.
Just hate it.
I was okay with it.
I say this word all the time, but not in this context.
Somebody horked our clothes.
I say horked like horked. Somebody horked up a bean or horked up a their lunch or whatever.
For them, it's stolen. Like hork. Oh, go hork that last piece of pizza from that guy over there.
Yeah.
Which I guess comes from hook, right? Like you would like hook someone off the ice.
I think if you read more into it, it just sounds funny.
You know what I have to do? I have to. Somebody is pounding on the kitchen kids are not in here now. Someone's pounding on the door. I'm upstairs. Let me go see who this
go
is.
Go see if it's Bob and Doug.
I don't give a shit.
All right, we're back. Sorry, everybody. Here's the sleeping computer guy.
He's not dead. Look, his stomach's moving.
Maybe he's just sleeping, eh?
Maybe he's going to puke. He had too many beers.
I wanted more of that. Just more just talking.
Yeah, and you know so much of it, because it's not like they're going to write every A and Get Out and Hoser and everything into the script. It's going to be like, roughly, all right, you guys need to discover, you know, the body right here, and you guys need to knock the woman out of the electrified fence. Say whatever you need to say.
Yeah, but plus it's just this, like, kid thing to say his stomach's moving. Like, I like it. That's when the movie's at its best, is when something sort of serious is happening, even if it's a little convoluted. Those guys are just... Oh, man, look at that. I think he's dead, eh?
He's not dead. Look, his stomach's moving.
Like, that's funny, you know? Because you're, and I would say that when I was 14. Ooh, you can see his stomach moving. That means they're alive. Like life is a much more basic
that thing, that guy right? He's referring to, Ted, is another chick in the bucket. That's the chick in the bucket.
That's the guy.
You never find out what happens from that moment onward for Ted.
That's what Ted is dead. Of.
That's all they said.
No.
Ted's dead, baby.
Ted's dead. His stomach was moving.
What happened to the and he came back later, don't forget, at the place. Really? Yeah, when they were, because they weren't in, remember, they were still in their Darth Vader outfits when they went down there, and they were back in the they get put in the rubber room, and he showed up at the door. I have a clip of him later. I'll play it.
Right.
And they were like, whoa, it's that guy again. And then you never see him again, so he still is sort of a chick in the bucket, but he makes a final appearance. This is a weird thing to say.
What the stink are they doing in there?
What the stink are they doing in there?
I love that. I was like, I never heard that term, but now it's mine.
Yeah. You sound like Tom Hardy is Bane right there.
What the stink are they doing in there?
Your punishment will be more severe. Here's a good line in the same car.
Would you like me to tilt your chair back?
Shut up.
That's good stuff. All right, here's what happens to you in prison.
Those big cons are going to love you, eh?
What do you mean?
You're a cute little guy. They're going to be loving you from dawn until dusk.
Burn!
Where are you going to be?
I'll be in the cafeteria selling smokes.
See, again, high point for me was that conversation.
Right, because it's really not got anything to do with the so-called plot, and they're getting to just ad-lib all they want.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then just there's that Moranis again.
Where are you going to be?
Where are you going to be?
Where are you gonna be?
So I don't know what the word is. It's perfect though. Yeah. Selling what?
I'll be in the cafeteria selling smokes.
Oh, I guess I cut that out too. All right, here you guys. Oh, here.
These guys like a smoke.
That was my favorite criminal that was in that room with them. You guys, what do you say?
Use guys like a smoke.
You got use guys.
Would you guys like a smoke?
Use guys like a smoke.
Well, he was the big kingpin looking dude.
Yeah, very kingpin. And then they replied,
"We want our lungs to be pink when they fry us."
Yeah, that's a good idea. It doesn't make any sense, does it? We want our lungs to be pink when they fry us. Why would that even be a thing to say? Let me think about it for a second. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
No.
There's no advantage. If you're being electrocuted, who cares what your lungs look like?
Just, you know, just a way of turning down a smoke, but still sounding tough.
There you go. Nailed it.
That scene ends with a bunch of people suddenly realizing that they've been verbally had, and one guy going, "Get him!" and a crowd rushing. Mm-hmm. They must have thought that was a really funny little motif.
Oh, yeah.
Because they start at the beginning of the movie with it, with the crowd outside going, "Get him!" and they all rush at him. It's not funny, and it's not Canadian at all. Yeah. Canada would never do that.
They would never do that. I agree. That whole part at the beginning, that didn't feel very Canadian to me. It didn't feel real at all, actually. All those people are terrible. Split pea soup joke.
Two bowls of split pea soup to go, eh?
That's the kind of crap that makes me laugh for no reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ted, what's this?
Hi, fellas. My name's Ted, and I'm happy to be working with you.
That's him at the door again. That's the guy.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so that's him. That's your guy who's your chick in the bucket, but he never shows up again. Here's some bad ADR.
All I've got is 2 fives.
All I've got is 2 fives. Wasn't even the actor. Oh. Don't know who that was. And then the fart scene.
Maybe it's out of gas, eh? Oh, you farted.
No, it wasn't me. It was the chair, eh?
He's lying. No. Check the machine, eh?
They turn on each other so fast.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, brothers.
I can never decide if these guys are in league or they just hate each other.
They're brothers. They're brothers, brothers who bicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you do. You agree to do something, but if it gets hard, you turn on them.
Yeah. Throw them under the bus.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Here's the worst line in the film.
Pissed blood!
Oh, that's not that's not what I thought it was at all. Weird. Okay. Well, in that case... It's the Film Sack checklist. Flying dog, check. Cartoon dad and mom doing it, check. And finally, world's largest fat suit, check. Although I'm sure it was just an apparatus, right? Like some kind of...
It was just a balloon.
Yeah.
An apparatus. I'm going to need an apparatus over here.
Can someone get that going? Trek stuff. Our buddy we've been talking about, Paul Dooley, is the only connection we have. He played Clyde Elsinore in this thing. Or Claude, rather. In Star Trek Deep Space Nine, he played a Cardassian named Nebrin Tane in 4 episodes of DS9. Paul Dooley. Which might be where I'm thinking of seeing him a lot, is that. Mm-hmm. Was soundtrack great? I give it a W for weird. I don't think it was pretty disjointed. I'm not really sure I heard one much. There was a few moments. But
works in parts.
Yeah.
But but I'd completely forgotten there was actually a song at the beginning called Strange Brew that.
Oh,
and I think
give
I've already
us another trope
out.
Alert.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I wish Ooh. We ought to have our own. Yeah. There ought to be its own category for that. When there's and that happened right. last week, didn't it? Last week? No.
Yeah, it did.
Pumping
yeah.
iron. Yes, it totally
oh, yeah.
did.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
We're cool. Pumping iron.
Look at it. You gotta love this. I can't imagine not loving the title of the movie song.
Yeah. Right. No, you have to.
Yeah.
Why can you not?
Like in Star Wars, The Last Jedi. He's the last Jedi, and he's coming for you.
Wow. I
love it.
I want that to happen in real life. Here's a Twitter post. This is where, in 140 characters or less, you guys sum this film up. Let's start with Randy.
Strange Brew, the movie equivalent of a last-minute essay written right outside the classroom at 7:59 a.m. by some hoser.
A. You have to end it with A. Brian Dunaway.
Strange Brew. This movie is a genius. It knows the Atlas. Oh, geez, my left nut.
Well, he knows the Atlas, eh?
He knows the Atlas, eh?
I love that. Instead of the map or the globe.
He knows the Atlas.
He knows the yeah. Atlas. That sounds very Canadian somehow. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Strange Brew. It's better than Trailer Park Boys. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. It's the beta of Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah. The beta of, thank you.
It kind of is. I love Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
The alternate titles have just been handed to me. Oh, my goodness. There's even a theme song to go with that. Hold on. Here we go. It was almost, strangely enough, it was almost called Dog Water or Mange Brew. See, I went with a dog here. Just a dog theme is what I did.
I like that one.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty good. We got an email here from Daniel. Daniel wrote into the show at filmsack@gmail.com and said the following. The steroids doc... that we were talking about in follow-up to last week's Pump and Iron is called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. It says it even goes into how we use them with animals, mainly farm animals. There is also one called The Man Whose Arms Exploded.
Oh, that was so gross.
It's about a guy who mainly builds his arms, going for biggest ever, big steroid user to the point that one of his biceps does burst and it's caught on camera. You can see it on YouTube.
Okay.
No,
never
thanks.
Ever want to see that ever in my life.
Yeah, I've actually seen this documentary, and it is just as disgusting as you can imagine.
I imagine it is. He gets busted for roids, and his arms are so big when cops go to put the cuffs on him, it took two pairs because he couldn't get his arms together because they're so big. Love the podcast, Daniel.
I love Danny. Love the podcast.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to say I'm proud of you for not going with the alternate title, the A Team.
I'm really proud of you. That's not bad though. I should have thought of that.
The A Team, yeah, nice.
The A Team. Oh, why didn't I do that? That's a good one, Randy. That's a good
That's
one.
So much for your pride.
I need to consult with Randy before I name these dumb secondary titles. That was a really
Take
good one.
Your pride and shove it up your hoser.
There you go, right up your hoser. Oh, I could have done a hoser one like ho ho.
A ho ho.
I can't think of anything. There's nothing. Yeah. I can't think of anything with those. Anyway, that's it for your emails. And by the way, Daniel, that's an awesome thing to write in about. If you have similar things to say, people at home, filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to use. So please do. Next week, we are doing an episode of the original series of Star Trek.
Yay.
I think it's the Khan one. Space Seed?
It is the Khan one, yes.
Space Seed. It was weird when I went looking it up that we've only ever done two episodes of the original series. It feels like we've done 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to do it. We definitely need to get one in. The reason we're doing this, a couple of us are going to be out of town traveling, and often when that happens, we'll throw one of these bonus sort of watch-along episodes. So you can watch it along with us, have a little commentary, have a little fun. That's next week right here on FilmSack, Space Seed from Star Trek, the original series, streaming currently on Netflix. That's going to do it for us. FilmSack.com is our website. You can go there and find all the details you might need to know about us and contact us. You can also follow us on Twitter @FilmSack and leave us reviews wherever you find your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
No, that's right.
Oh, that's right. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.